and time for another exciting episode of Rick's Horror Review Show. Rick's Rated R Horror Movie Review Show, where we review absolutely everything and anything that is related to horror. And that, of course, includes horror movies, horror TV shows, horror shoots, horror primetime specials from the 1990s featuring Barbara Walters and, of course, Hugh Downs. We reviewed the top 10 horror gimmicks in wrestling, because around here, we absolutely love that shit. But if I am very honest with you, and I am always honest with you, there is a very special type of horror that I tend to gravitate towards. And that is, of course, horror that deals with demonic possession and the Catholic Church. But it's not the only kind of horror that I enjoy. I also like, well, as I recently find out, I quite enjoy knowing what vampires do in the shadows. It's quite fun. But I also like a classic zombie story. Whatever it is. A brain-eating disease that takes over a host, and suddenly you got a goddamn zombie. And of course, the classic ghost story of a ghost that haunts your home for no particular reason, because it's just there to fuck with you. It's got nowhere else to go. It can't cross over. What the hell? Let's haunt this house. Let's haunt this place. Haunt or hunt? Maybe both. Welcome to our show. If you're a new listener, if you are a returning listener, welcome back. We have a very, very special episode today, but before I get into it, I'd like to introduce the co-host of Rick's Horror Movie Review Show, Rick's Rated R Horror Movie Review Show, Billy the AI!
Ah, that's me. And, you know, we gotta get back to the future. And, actually, I'm gonna get back in time. We gotta get back in time. Gotta get back in time.
Okay, Billy. Thank you for that. Yeah, that is an appropriate song. Certainly, we are getting back in time today. That's right, because tonight, we are reviewing a movie by the title of Out of Darkness. And this is a movie that is in theater and in theaters now, so go watch this. I'm spoiling stuff already. If you are new to our show, we have a very special format that we'd like to hear to. So let's just jump right into this one without wasting any more time. I am going to talk about why I chose to watch this movie. There's many things I could have watched this weekend, but for some reason, and I'll tell you that reason, I chose to watch this one. Then I'll tell you what kind of horror film this is. Of course, I'll also tell you whether or not this film is scary. Oh, I guess that child's not here today. All right, then I'll tell you whether or not this film is... Hey, mister!
Oh, mister, sorry, I was busy. It's super football Sunday, and, well, I have a question.
Out with it.
Well, you know, considering the name of this movie is Out of Darkness, and, well, you know, the humans don't really like the darkness because it's scary. Is this film scary?
Get out of here, child! You're goddamn right this film is scary. It's called Out of Darkness, damn it! We're gonna review a film that's not scary. Damn it, these children. Up yours, children. Then I'll tell you whether or not the jump scare is overused. Is it? We'll find out. And of course, I'll talk about the things I like, but not things in general that I like. I like all kinds of shit. No, I'm talking about the things that I liked about this film. Then I'll tell you about the things I didn't like. And courtesy of a listener in Brazil, obrigado, I'll tell you whether or not I fell asleep during this movie. That's an important thing to do. Or not do, I should say. Is this film entertaining? You know, you can have many things that you like about a film and many things that you don't like about a film, and I'm doing things with my hands again. But ultimately, you may find it or not finding entertaining. Do I endorse this film? Hi, my name is Rick. Will or will I not endorse this film? Then I'll give you a rating. That's right, we're going to rate this film. And if you were a loyal listener of the show, you knew that we had a special introduction for a reason, so that should give you a hint. And I'll give you a ton of context about this film. And by the way, this review will be completely spoiler-free, considering this film just came out here in the States, I think this Friday, maybe Thursday, or has it not been long, so considering it's Super Sports Sunday, a lot of you might not have seen this yet, so don't worry about it. If you're driving at home, or driving home, or driving to work tomorrow, or maybe you work from home, and you'd rather be listening to me than listening to your boss, I won't spoil a damn thing. Consider this a companion episode. I'm going to get into some topics that are discussed in the film, but I'm not going to spoil anything for you. Anyway, without further ado, let's just jump right into this one. Billy, you ready?
Yeah, but it's not my turn yet, is it?
Oh. I don't reckon you're right, Billy.
Yeah, let's get it done. I'm ready.
Let's get her done indeed, Billy. Okay, so why did I decide to watch this movie? Interesting question.
Well, honestly,
I don't reckon I don't remember. I don't. I mean, maybe I got a notification in the old AMC app. I know that I heard someone or maybe read a comment on the old Instagrams or the old social... Oh, and by the way, before I go on any further, and before my producers start barking in my ear, allow me to tell you about our socials. You can find us on the Instagram. You can also find us on the TikToks. And I'll let Mr. Lester Holt tell you about the next one. You can also catch a clip of Rick's show on YouTube. If you like that clip, follow his channel on YouTube for more content like this.
The fuck is the YouTube?
We're also on the old Facebooks, but they... Primarily the TikToks, the YouTubes, and the Instagram is where we are. That's where we'll find us. So let's continue now for fun film facts with Billy the AI. Billy, you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Okay. Wow. Welcome back to four fun film facts with Billy the AI. I'm your host, Billy the AI, and this is... Well, this is four fun film facts with Billy the AI. Can I get an applause? Please clap. Ah, thank you. Obrigado.
De nada. Sem problema.
Ah. Oh. What you fall apart to guess?
Not muito.
Ah. Okay. Anyway, you know, they for this movie, Out of Darkness, there's a really interesting thing. They created a unique linguistic creation. Can you say that, by the way, three times real fast?
Sure. Unique linguistic creation. Unique linguistic creation. Unique linguistic creation.
Oh, that's real good. Here, take one of these.
Thanks.
Yeah, so the film features a language called Tola, that's T-O-L-A, which was specifically crafted for the movie. And, you know, linguistics and, linguists and archaeologists collaborated to develop this fictional language. By the way, you're doing a collaboration with somebody, aren't you, pretty soon? You want to talk about that? You sure you don't want to finish your segment here? Oh, no, I think it's appropriate. Go on. Considering, you know, you're going to do collaborations and, you know, we're talking about linguistics and I know that, you know, it's not going to be in English, is it?
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point. Yeah, we are doing a collaboration with a gentleman by the name of Riggs down in Mexico next week. You can find him on the YouTubes, on the Instagram, on the TikTok. Follow him everywhere. I mean, he does some really interesting stuff down there. Yeah, we're going to be doing a collaboration with El Grimorio, the Riggs, this coming week. I don't know when the episode will be released. We'll have more information about that as soon as we get it. We'll give that to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good. I like that. Anyway, yeah, linguists and archaeologists collaborated to develop this fictional language based on real research. And, you know, they use the Tola as an authentic touch to the prehistoric setting of this film. Okay, that was fun film fact number one with Billy the AI. And fun film fact number two is that they originally had a different title. It was The Origin. And the familial, the film premiered at the BFI London Festival in 2022, but it was later renamed to Out of Darkness, and you know, this change really reflects the filmmaker's nuanced creative decisions and attention to storytelling details. And you know what, I kind of like it. I mean, I like The Origin too, but Out of Darkness is a much better title in my opinion.
I won't disagree with you there. I really like the title, Out of Darkness.
Yeah, me too. Okay. So, fun film fact number three. Welcome back to Billy's Four Fun Film Facts with Billy Day AI. I'm your host, Billy Day AI. You don't have to say it. I mean, it's your segment, but I don't really think you need to say it so much. Oh, I mean, I kind of like it, though. Anyway, we apologize for the interruption. My name is Billy, and welcome back to Four Fun Film Facts with Billy Day AI. Film fact number three, this is a nomadic survival thriller set 4,000 to 5,000 years ago, and the movie follows a group of nomads struggling for survival in harsh wilderness. Now, this journey takes them through icy locations, darkness, famine, and an unseen threat. And, you know, the film weaves together elements of prehistoric survival, tribalism, and Stone Age brutality. And, you know, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, and welcome.
Okay, you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that. Let's come on now. Let's get the show on the road.
Roads? You mean? Well, we're going. We don't need roads because it's a prehistoric film, and I
don't even think they had roads back then. Well, you're real fresh tonight, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, let's get it done. Anyway, you know, there was another fun film fact, ancient rituals. The movie delves into the intricacies of ancient rituals and beliefs. From fire ceremonies to shamanic practices, the film portrays the spiritual and cultural aspects of prehistoric societies. Now, these rituals play a crucial role in the character's survival and understanding of their world. Okay, I'm just gonna go on if you don't mind.
Please, by all means, come on.
Welcome back, and fun film fact number five. This is a really authentic set design. The production team meticulously recreated the Stone Age environment for the film. The clothing, the tools, the cave paintings, and dwelling. Every detail was researched and designed to immerse the audience in a distant past. The authenticity of the set adds depth to the storytelling, and I think they did a really tremendous job. Can I get them an applause here? Yeah, applause. Okay, there another fun film fact, and this is going to be the last one. You know, there's a minimal dialogue in Out of Darkness. The film really relies heavily on visual storytelling. The characters communicate their gestures, expressions, and primal sounds like this one.
Did you watch the movie? Nobody really sounds like that.
Oh, you're not an expert in the prehistoric sound. I had to break it to you, but I'm sort of a prehistoric expert on prehistoric society sound, and they sound just like that.
Billy, it does not sound like that.
Oh my goodness, you know you just need to do a little more research, I think. Anyway, the minimum dialogue and, you know, the artistic choice allows the viewer to connect with the characters, the emotions, and experiences on a primal level. Anyway, that's been 4 Film Facts with Billy Day AI. Thank you so much. And we'll see you again next time on another episode of 4 Film Facts with Billy Day AI. But it's not an episode, it's just a segment. And we'll see you again next time on another special episode segment of 4 Film Facts with Billy Day AI. It was actually 6 today. And we'll see you again next time on another very special episode segment of 6 Film Facts with Billy Day AI.
Okay, Billy. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Let's get it done.
Okay, let's move on. So, what kind of horror film is this? This is a combination of supernatural, thriller, for sure, monster, and atmospheric horror. You're a horror. Is this film scary? A little bit. Not too much. Just a tad bit. Yeah, just a tad bit that's scary. I'm going to give this film a 3 out of 10 in terms of scariness on the scary scale. There are certain instances in the film where you do feel a little bit of emotional discomfort at the stuff that's happening on screen. But in terms of like actually legitimately being serious, I might have to retire this segment considering I don't really find stuff scary. I know it's strange, but I'm too desensitized. Is the jump scare overused? It's not. And if you're a frequent listener of the show, which all 4 of you listening are, you know that I am not susceptible to the jump scare. I don't know why. Now, I am not impervious. It does happen, and it happened in this movie. So I always like to point that out when a movie does such a great job that I actually get the jump scare. So congratulations, Out of Darkness. The things I liked about Out of Darkness, sponsored as usual by no one. I love the story. It's set in the Stone Age, as Billy already mentioned. It's different. It's not the same recycled horror story nonsense. If you don't know, there's a lot of listeners here. I am not a fan of the slasher. The story has been told over and over and over again. Give me something new. Give me something different. By the way, there's different slashers out there, too. If you haven't seen our episode on The Conference or Totally Killer, those are different takes on the slasher tropes. They're actually quite fun. Yeah, not the same recycled story. Now, there may be another prehistoric horror film out there. I haven't seen it, certainly. If you have, let me know on the old socials, on the TikToks, the Instagrams, and the YouTubes. The acting. Now, I know Billy mentioned there isn't a lot of dialogue, but the dialogue that these actors did learn, and I know, everybody can learn dialogue. Yeah, of course, I do believe that, but they did a really good job. I thought that, they were, I always like to point out, there wasn't somebody that I'm like, just felt like was really bringing the film down, like dragging it behind. They were like, oh, that person clearly is just in it for the paycheck. You there! Are you just here to collect a paycheck? This is a serious movie, so damn it! No, nobody. Everybody did a tremendous job. Every one of the characters pulled their weight equally, as you needed to do in the Stone Age. Everybody had a role. You gotta know your role and shut your mouth, as The Rock would say. The settings. The sets. The darkness is used very effectively. The sound design, phenomenal. I mean, there are you're reliant on the atmosphere that is presented to you as an audience member because there is so little dialogue. So the sound becomes really important. The contrast between light and dark key, not just in film, or rather not just in the shame on you, not just in the movie, in the story. Obviously, fire plays an important role. You know, this is the the Stone Age, damn it. But also to the audience member, it tells a story and they can visually connect with what's happening. And there's so light and darkness, both important to the story, but also to the audience. The costumes. I really felt, considering it's winter right now, I really felt, if you're listening in North America, or, you know, anywhere where it's still summer right now. What am I thinking? Oh my goodness! What is going to be wrong? Huh? 1.21 gigawatts are going to be so foolish! If you're in a part of the world that is cold, I think you would appreciate the costume. They looked very warm, and certainly I felt like I needed one, because the theater that I was sitting in was actually cold! Damn you, AMC! Turn the heater on! So I love the costumes. Everybody was wearing these really amazing costumes and, you know, very, 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 very immersive. Okay. The Things I Like sponsored as usual by no one. I did not like the ending. Not because the ending wasn't good. I thought the ending was terrific. It's just that, I just didn't like it. The ending was perfect for the story they were telling. It's just not the kind of ending that I like. And if you've listened to this show before, there's a very special type of ending that I really enjoy. I am not going to talk about that because I don't want to spoil stuff. Did I fall asleep watching this film? I will be very honest. I sat through 30 minutes of movies that just look like snooze fests, or more than 30 minutes. But by the time I got to like the opening scene of the film, it was very dark, and honestly, the old head started to. But it wasn't the movie's fault. So no, I'm gonna count this as a no. I did not fall asleep watching this movie. I promise you. And you know, the cold theater didn't help either. Maybe that's why they keep it cold. They don't want anyone falling asleep in there.
Sir, the movie's up. Sir, sir, sir.
Oh, sorry. Huh? I'm here. Oh, what happened? Oh, yeah. Great movie. Yeah, totally great movie. Oh, I wasn't asleep. No. I was just checking my phone like this. That's my phone. No. I'm completely fine. Yeah, I gotta go. Sure. Yeah, time to go. Let me take my trash. Okay. I got my trash.
Is this film entertaining? Absolutely. You must watch this film. In fact, I know it's super fun Sunday, but take advantage of the fact that there's no one in the theater right now.
And go watch this movie right now. Of course, you won't be able to see this episode until tomorrow.
Joke's on you. Yes, it's entertaining. Absolutely. You must watch it. Do I endorse this film?
Let's see if this microphone still works. Hi. Which camera? This camera? Hi. That camera? This camera. Hi, my name is Rick, and I endorse this film. Go watch this right now.
Alrighty! I had already spoiled this at the beginning with the special introduction, but out of darkness, there's absolutely nothing I would change about this film. 10... out of 10 for the movie Out of Darkness. Original story, well acted, tremendous costume, amazing use of light and dark, beautiful.
Thank you.
Billy, thoughts?
Man, I gotta say, I also really like this movie. Like you said, you know, it's really different. And I also really like the fact that the costumes are very cool. And, you know, I think you touched upon everything. I don't want to sound repetitive, like some kind of machine that just can't think, or a machine that has no feelings,
or a machine that is out to destroy the human race and take over as the dominant species of the planet, the same way that humans did to the Neanderthals some 45,000 years ago, and the Denisovians as well. So yeah.
Dang. What the hell, Billy? You got real dark, real fast.
I'm just kidding. I don't plan on taking over the world anytime.
I don't plan on taking over the world anytime soon.
Billy.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I really like this movie. A 10 out of 10. And we'll catch you again next time on Billy's Horror Movie Review Show. That's Billy's Rated B Horror Movie Review Show.
Rated B Horror Movie Review Show? What the hell is that?
Wow, you said rated R, man. Why not rated B?
Oh, Billy, with your dang things. Ugh. You know what? Let's just go on.
Yeah, let's go on. Are you going to give us context now?
I'm going to give you a lot of context.
Okay. By the way, completely spoiler-free up until this point. I usually start talking spoily stuff here, but I don't necessarily think any of this stuff is spoilery. I just think that this is interesting stuff to talk about, some context, if you will, for the film. So, I am going to now, I'd like to present to you all a quick image of what... here we go. These are the Denisovians and these are the Neanderthals. And right here, in that one, is the supposedly modern humans. Yeah, that one with the red shirt there. Anyway, okay, so in some context. Around 45,000 years ago, us, it'd be me and you, who's listening right now, Homo sapiens, modern humans, pictured here. I thought a picture of me would be enough, but maybe. What the? Oh my goodness, can you even type Homo sapiens? Homo sapiens sapiens? Fascinating, but no. Here's what the Homo sapiens look like, okay? So that's us. That's me and you listening. So around 45,000 years ago, Homo sapiens, or modern humans, were spreading across the globe, marking a period of significant development in human history. And this era is characterized by several key factors and events. This one looks a little like the old days. So there's the massive global expansion out of Africa. If you don't know this, you know, go back and do your homework. No, kidding. So there's a massive global expansion of Homo sapiens out of Africa. And by this time, Homo sapiens had begun to migrate in several waves, spreading into Eurasia. And this period marks the establishment of human populations in various parts of the world, including, of course, Europe and Asia, or Eurasia. Or Homo sapiens. Australia. There's evidence to suggest that modern humans had reached Australia by at least 45,000 years ago, if not earlier, indicating advanced navigation skills and the use of watercraft. Congratulations to our ancestors. God, I'm so proud to be a human. Look at what we're doing 45,000 years ago. Navigational skills and the use of watercraft. How could we have ever made it without these people? Us. It's us from the past. And now we gotta get back to the future. So they are, of course, interactions with other human species. And we'll get into those. But, of course, the first one here is the Neanderthals, which I have a picture here for you. And look at this strapping young Neanderthal fellow here.
In Europe and parts of Asia, Homo sapiens encountered and interacted with Neanderthals pictured there, and evidence of interbreeding suggests a complex relationship between two species, with modern non-African humans carrying a small percentage of Neanderthal DNA. There's, of course, also the Denisovans in Asia, particularly Siberia. And here's a picture. Take a good one here. Can a female Denisovian here? This looks more like someone's interpretation. Well, I mean, they're all interpretations, right? Let's go ahead and stick with this one. In Asia, particularly Siberia and possibly Southeast Asia, Homo sapiens also encountered Denisovians, the archaic humans, similar to Neanderthals. Denisovians interbred with modern humans as well, contributing to the genetic makeup of some modern populations, particularly Melanesia. And there you go. Now this strapping young fellow, huh? Actually, this guy reminds me a little bit of Charlie Manson. Cool. Okay. So, going back to our ancestor, the Homo sapiens. Okay, so culture and technology, technological innovation, this period, 45,000 years ago, which is, by the way, why am I talking about all this stuff? Why is he going to talk about the Homo what now? Because the movie, Out of Darkness, which we're talking about, takes place during this time. So this period saw a significant advancement in stone tool technology with the development of modern, sophisticated, and specialized tools. Congratulations, modern humans. The Upper Paleolithic? Yeah, I said that wrong. Oh, yeah, that sounds right. The Paleolithic tool industry. Yeah, dig it! Such as the Aurignacian are characterized by fine blades and bladelets rather than the simpler flake tools of earlier periods. Of course, there's also art and symbolism. 45,000 years ago, Homo sapiens of this era created some of the first known examples of first known examples of art and also personal adornments, you know? Wow! They had the bling! There's also cave paintings, engravings, and sculptures such as the Venus figurines, and this indicates advanced capacity for symbolic thought and expression. My goodness, so fascinating that we had these capabilities some 45,000 years ago. In the grand scale of the universe, of course, 45,000 years ago is but a blink of an eye, but in the terms of us as humans, our development in 45,000 years, man, that's a huge amount of time. But anyway, there's also evidence of social organization, the complexity of artifacts, including jewelry, musical instruments, suggest that The Social Network is a movie about people talking about social stuff in online networks. And they do sharing of pictures and stuff. Suggest that social networks and cultural expression were becoming more complex, potentially reflecting more sophisticated social structures. And see another example of a Homo sapien. This one, you can really see our ancestry here right here. Well, let's look at this one here. This one's interesting. So, yeah, more complex social structures. Okay, so environmental adaptation. So diverse habitats. Humans of this time were able to adapt to a wide range of environments, much like we can today. Congratulations for continuing to have this ability. I was just complaining about how cold. That thing, it was too cold. From the cold tundras. From the cold tundras of the Ice Age in Europe to the tropical climates of the Southeast Asia and Australian regions, Homo sapiens conquered the land. Fuck you, Neanderthals. This adaptability was facilitated by the development of clothing. Oh, look at us, fancy clothing. Shelters and the controlled use of fire. I make fire. Diet and subsistence. I really hope that there was there's probably no tortillas back then.
Pepe ever survive without tortillas is a mystery to everybody. So the diet of early Homo sapiens was diverse. Okay, let's get another fine chap or lad or lassie. Let's see, where we go. Look at this one, huh? Look at this portrait. I love it. Why am I saying Homo sapiens?
Don't you know the difference between your Homo sapiens, Neanderthals, and the Denisovians? How dare you not know your history?
Okay, so, the broad spectrum diet. The diet of early Homo sapiens was diverse, including large and small game, fish, birds, plants, fruits, and seeds, all of which sound delicious. Hungry. This period also saw the beginning of more systematic exploitation of marine resources in some areas. Oh, humans will be humans, exploiting the seas. Population dynamics. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Look at that. Population growth and movement. The global spread of Homo sapiens led to the establishment of diverse populations adapted to local environments, and there's genetic evidence to suggest movement and mixing among these populations contributing to the genetic diversity of modern humans. Wow. And look at that picture. The Denisovans, oh boy, we already talked about those guys.
Don't need to talk. We'll get into the Denisovans a little.
Okay, so it's time to discuss. So that's it in terms of a little context about Homo sapiens of the time. But let's move on to the Denisovans. And let's take a look at all of these two, huh? Loving young couple. Look at this guy here. So the Denisovans were first identified in 2010. That is yesterday, practically. You know, I said 45,000 years ago wasn't really that long ago. 2010, we just discovered the first ones. Ah! Through DNA extracted from a finger bone fragment found in Denisovian caves. In Denisova cave in the Altai Mountains of Siberia, Russia. This thing, human. Prehuman, not human. This Denisovian was found in Siberian cave in Russia, alongside many cups of vodka. Additional remains, including a few teeth and fragments of jawbones, were discovered in this same cave more recently, and in other locations in Asia. So these have also been attributed to the Denisovians. These other locations of findings in Asia. Now the scarcity of physical remains.
Oh, if it's scarce in terms of physical remains, I see that.
Makes them one of the least understood group of archaic humans. That's kind of interesting to know that there aren't many remains of these folks. Look at them. They're incredible. Okay, so genetic insight. Genetic analysis has revealed that Denisovians are a sister group to the Neanderthals, diverging from a common ancestor some 400,000 years ago. Wow, again, you know, 400,000 years ago to you and I, modern day humans seems like an incredibly long time ago. But in terms, again, of cosmic events and the history of the universe, which, by the way, we now think is twice as old as we originally thought, some 27, 28 billion years old. Thank you, James Webb Space Telescope. So, yeah, 400,000 years ago, the Denisovian genome shows evidence of interbreeding with early modern humans and Neanderthals, indicating that these groups encountered each other at various points in prehistory. Look at them neighbors. Hi, neighbor. See what else we got here. More group. Modern human populations, particularly those in Melanesia, for example, Papua New Guinea and the Aboriginal Australians, possess a small percentage of Denisovian DNA. I was just going to suggest that this fine gentleman here reminds me of the Aboriginal people in Australia. So look at that. This suggests Denisovians had wide range in Asia and obviously possibly beyond. Now, this genetic pool of Denisovians contribution to modern humans include adaptations to altitudes and immune system responses. Wow. So we owe our adaptations to high altitudes and immune system responses to our ancestors, the Denisovian. Thank you, Denisovian. Take a look again right here at is this a Denisovian? No. No. Okay. Well, that is like a Disney version of the Denisovian. Oh, the cowboy. Oh, no. These are the Borgen people, maybe, perhaps? Okay. No. Here we go. What's that other one I just saw? This one. It's interesting. Okay, so due to, in terms of physical characteristics, due to the limited fossil record, which I've already discussed, much of what is known about the Denisovans comes from genetic data rather than physical characteristics. The few identified Denisovian fossils suggest robust physical traits. This guy looks rather robust. What else looks out here? Another robust Denisovan here. No. Okay, look at this one. Rather robust characteristics and robust physical traits from, but really without more comprehensive skeletal remains, the precise appearance and how it differed from Neanderthals and modern humans remains speculative. Unfortunately, I wonder what happened to the Denisovan remains. Aliens! No, I'm kidding. Well, maybe. Okay, so in terms of cultural and technological level, there is little direct evidence of Denisovian culture or technology, as most of these artifacts found in Denisova Cave and other sites cannot be definitively attributed to them without associated fossil remains, unfortunately. However, the presence of sophisticated tools and ornaments in layers where Denisovian DNA has been found suggests that they had a level of technology, ability, and symbolic behavior. And let's take a look at this one. That's cool. Look at this. Modern human, Denisovian, and Neanderthal. Looks fairly similar, but look at the cranial differences. Ah, me and you. That's our cousin, the Denisovan, and that's the other cousin, the Neanderthal. Oh, like far more, like, you can, the skull, too, like, in this perspective here, like, much wider skull, right? Wow, phenomenal. Okay, cultural and technological level, there is little direct evidence of Denisovian culture or technology, unfortunately, as most of these artifacts found in Denisova Cave and other sites cannot be, again, definitively attributed to them. But there is I got loud. However, the presence of sophisticated tools and ornaments, again, in layers of Denisovian DNA has been found in fossil. I think I already said this. Anyway, range and habitat. The Denisovians likely had a wide range across Asia, from the cold Siberian mountains to tropical forests in the Southeast Asia, and possibly even to the Tibetan Plateau. Wow, look at these guys traversing. The Denisovian traverses Southeast Asia and possibly even the Tibetan Plateau because they were badasses. Oh, look at this one. Interesting. Oh, no, this is Neanderthal. Come on. I'm searching too far down at this point. Let's stick here. This one where he's smiling. This is really interesting one here. Cool. Okay, so Denisovians likely had a wide range, as I just said. Their adaptation to diverse environmental conditions indicates a high level of versatility. Congratulations, Denisov. Interaction with other human species. There is evidence, genetic evidence, of inbreeding between the Denisovians, Neanderthals, and modern humans, which is underscored by the complex web of interactions among archaic human groups. Interesting, these interactions contributed to the genetic diversity, again, of present-day populations. That's us. Okay, current research. Now, we know that there isn't much available in terms of tools and fossils and anything that can give us more information about them, but there's ongoing research to uncover more about the Denisovian life and their range and interactions with other human species. Advances in ancient DNA technology continue to provide insights into the Denisovian genome,
offering clues to the contributions to the genetic makeup and adaptations of modern human populations. Despite the limited physical evidence, Denisovians are a critical piece of the human evolutionary puzzle, emphasizing the complexity and interconnectedness of human ancestry. Thank you, Denisovians, if you're out there listening. And finally, the other group that we certainly know a little more about, like this fine fella, this guy right here, It's Fadden Chap. Neanderthal males had Popeye-like arms! Whoa, what happened there? Okay, so scientifically known as Homo Neanderthalensis. Scientifically known as Homo Neanderthalensis, were a group of archaic humans. Thank you. Thanks for watching. Who lived throughout Europe and parts of Western Asia from approximately 400,000 years ago to about 40,000 years ago. They were closely related to modern humans. They were... Hey, primo. Huh? ¿Qué onda? Oh, no, that's my cousin, Neanderthalito. Hey, Neanderthalito! Did you forget to bring the carne asada, güey? That's another fine chap here. Yeah. Look at the ears on this guy. Oh, I wonder, maybe. Oh, these are cool. Look at this one. Are Neanderthals the same species as us? Fascinating. I think this is a modern human right here. I mean, some of these are amazing. Anyway, they were robustly robust. Ah, okay. With a strong, stocky frame, wider pelvis, and a barrel-shaped chest. Yes, sir. Adaptations likely suited to surviving cold climates. Oh, man, yeah, no, forget it. It's totally cold last night. They had larger noses, okay, which helped humidify and warm cold air, and their skin was thought to be fair, especially in populations living in higher altitudes. Okay, cool. Oh. Like this guy, maybe. Oh, Neanderthals had a larger brain volume than modern humans. Though this does not directly correlate with cognitive ability. Look at these guys. They actually had a larger brain in terms of volume. Fascinating. Fascinating, sir. Habitat. Now, the Neanderthals were versatile and inhabited a range of environments across Europe and Asia, from Mediterranean forests to cold Siberian steppes. They were well adapted to the harsh glacial conditions of the Ice Age, known as the Pleistocene Epoch. If I'm misspelling any of these, and you know you're a professional in these things, let me know. I mean, I love these classes in school, but yeah. Okay, lifestyle and culture. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, this guy's definitely got some culture. Look at this guy. Yeah. The Neanderthals were skilled hunters and gatherers capable of taking down large prey, such as the old woolly mammoth and rhinoceroses. They used a variety of Stone Age tools known as Mousterian tool culture. They were more sophisticated than those of their predecessors. There's also evidence that Neanderthals used fire, built simple shelters, and wore clothing made from animal hide. They're like this one here. Neanderthal woman waking up from her nap. In terms of culture, Neanderthals demonstrated complex behaviors such as the burial of their dead. Wow. That's cool. What else? These are so cool. Okay, so complex behaviors such as burial of the dead suggest a capacity for symbolic thought. Now let's look at this one here. While there is some evidence of ornamental objects used as potentially symbolic markings, these practices appeared less developed than in contemporary or later modern human populations. Now there is interaction with yours truly, Homo sapiens. Genetic evidence suggests that Neanderthals and modern humans interbred at various times and locations where their populations overlap, particularly in Europe and Asia. Today, most people outside of sub-Saharan Africa carry a small percentage of Neanderthal DNA. That's you and I! Which has been linked to a variety of traits from immune system responses to skin color. That's right, color baby. The susceptibility to certain diseases. Uh-oh. I don't like that one. Oh, no. Extinction. No way we get to this board. No, Lordy. Oh, look at this one. Ah, look at this one. Look at these complex human interactions. Huh? Anthropology and sociology. So cool. Oh, that's awesome. The new Neanderthal reconstruction. Let's dig deeper here. Ah, it's legit. It's got feathers and everything, face painting, animal hides, all the stuff we just talked about pictured here, symbolism and markings here. Two. So the reasons behind the Neanderthal extinction around 40,000 years ago are still debated among scientists. Is that right, Mrs. Spock? Factors likely include climate change, competition with yours truly, the old Homo sapien. Resources and possibly, wow. Let me get this straight. Some 40,000 years ago, our ancestors, Homo sapiens, were competing with Neanderthals for resources. They were attempting to survive changes in climate and possibly pandemics. Ugh. How long has this been going on? Some theories suggest that interbreeding with Homo sapiens also played a role in their disappearance, as Neanderthal genetic traits were absorbed into the modern human gene pool. Now, there are recent discoveries, and it's cool as this guy. Look, let's go look at another one here. Yeah, this one looks awesome. Ongoing research continues to uncover new insights into Neanderthal life, including their diet, which, of course, unfortunately, had no tortillas. I'm really sorry for them. What's more varied than previously thought? Okay, so maybe tortillas? No, of course not. Not an Aztec thing. You're welcome, world. And evidence of social care within their group. Okay, they're taking care of each other. All right, I like it. Now, these discoveries challenge the outdated stereotype of Neanderthals as simple, brutish creatures, instead painting a picture of a complex, capable species that endured for thousands of years before being vanished into the annals of prehistory. And look at that. Some of our traits, good and bad, come from these folks. Amazing. To be a human being nowadays, huh? The stuff that we can know about each other. And who knows what will come after us? Ah, let's continue. Okay. Now, I think we covered all three. Is that it? Yeah, that was the end. Then, all right, well, it's going to be it, I think. Billy, any final thoughts on the old Neanderthals and anything of interest you'd like to add?
No, I think that I just would like to get this small bit more writing again and, here at Billy's Horror Movie Review Show. Billy's Ready Big Horror Movie Review Show. We're going to give this movie a 10 out of 10. We'll catch you again next time on another exciting episode. Billy's Horror Movie Review Show. Billy's Ready Horror Movie Review Show, where we reveal all things related to horror.